Open there with me to the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the end of the chapter, last three verses, end of the chapter there, okay? Familiar words to you, no doubt, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy," or comfortable. It's another way of translating that. My yoke is comfortable. My burden is light. Let's pray together. Father, we've already been reminded in song this morning that our life is supposed to be all about the cause of Christ. We're supposed to be living for Jesus. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the times when we forget that. We put ourselves and other things first. Renew us today, Lord, in understanding and in truth. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us find our way home to live for Jesus once again. Help us to draw near this day. Teach us today, Father, through the Scriptures and through our Bible study, how we can have rest for our souls. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the message this morning is about finding rest for your soul, having rest in our soul. And when we talk about that, I'm not talking about primarily in the afterlife, although certainly we want to have rest in the afterlife, don't we? We know that we have to come to Jesus in order to have that. Apart from Jesus, the afterlife will... Well, it'll literally be hell, won't it, if we don't go into the afterlife with the Lord. We'll have no rest. And so if we don't know the Lord as our Savior, if we don't know Jesus, we haven't surrendered our hearts to Him, then it's imperative that we do that. But this morning I'm talking about finding rest for our soul on a daily basis as we live out this life, as we go through the circumstances that we face in life, and experiencing peace and a calmness, a tranquility. What one TV star called Serenity Now, having that by the presence of the Lord, by living with Jesus and walking constantly in communion with the Son of God. There are a lot of things in life that try to steal our joy, aren't there? A lot of things that try to steal our peace and steal our restful heart, make us frustrated, agitated. Cause us to be worried and anxious. Lots of things that go on in life. Financial issues, as Jim talked about a moment ago, as we're receiving an offering today. Financial issues can be a real burden on us and cause us to be quite anxious in life. Relationship issues of all kinds can cause us to be anxious in life, whether it's dealing with children, dealing with parents, dealing with spouses, dealing with neighbors. You know, anything can be used by, it's interesting that the enemy can take all of those things or health issues. Health issues can be very stressful for us, cause us to be quite anxious and worry about things. Sin, we know, is something that can cause us to be anxious, lose our peace, lose our rest. The Bible says in Isaiah, at least twice it says, there is no rest for the wicked. And so, but I'm not dealing with the sin issue so much as simply life issues. Because we can be doing our best to walk with God and yet life just whack us upside the head and can cause us to lose our peace and cause us to lose our rest and cause us to be anxious and worrisome in life. And so these are the kinds of things that I want to deal with today. All of these issues that of life that happen to us, things that the enemy can weaponize and use against us to steal our peace and to cause us to become worried and fretful and fearful in life. The good news is that Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 16, the end of the chapter, Jesus says something like this. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Okay? Jesus makes it clear to us, guys. Life is, Becky used to sing a song, she sung it several times over the years. Life is hard, but God is good. And the Bible doesn't teach us anything different from that. The Bible doesn't teach us, you know, the rosy thing when you come to Christ and you'll never have problems again. Oh, that's just not true. That's not real. Life is hard. There's an enemy in this world who wants to make it as hard on us as he possibly can. But the scripture goes on to say, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And what he's trying to tell us there is what he's wanting us to see is there's a way to overcome all of the tribulations that we're going to face in life. There's a way to overcome those things and not allow those things to beat us down, but rather rise above those things and experience rest even in the midst of the storms of life. And that's what God wants to do to us. Jesus is saying to us there in that verse of scripture in John 16, basically he's saying life is hard. But God is good. God's saying to us, Jesus is saying to us, I've overcome these things. And if you'll come to me, I'll help you overcome these things. And even though it's going to be hard, you can still be victorious. We talk a lot about how you and I are called by God to experience the blessings of heaven on the way to heaven. That God has opened heaven to us, and it's not just when we get to heaven that we're going to experience His goodness, but it's here and now that we can experience His goodness on the journey to heaven. Well, rest is one of those things. When people pass away, we always say, rest in peace. Hopefully they do. When we get to heaven, we will rest forever. But God doesn't want us to have to wait to heaven to start to rest. He wants us to rest in Him today. He wants us to rest in Him, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world that's around us. And Jesus is our rest. He is our rest. The Bible calls Him the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. When He was born, the angels sang around Him, peace, joy to the world, peace between God and man. He wasn't talking about peace in the sense of the cessation of troubles and trials, but what he's talking about is peace in our heart in the midst of those things. That's why he would say later on in John, he would say, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. My peace. And then Jesus illustrated it in his life. Jesus illustrated for us how to live in peace in the midst of the storms of life. His whole ministry began. Did you know the ministry of Jesus began with a crowd wanting to throw Him off a hill? It's where it all began. The Bible says He went into the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. He comes into His hometown. He's full of the Spirit of God. He takes the book of Isaiah. He opens the scrolls. He reads the prophecies of the Messiah. He closes the scrolls. He says to the people who all knew that these verses were about the Messiah, He says to the people, His hometown, He says, these verses today are fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the one you've been waiting for, the ones these verses speak about, has just stood before you and read those verses to you. I'm the one you're waiting for. They couldn't handle it. The hometown boy claiming to be the Christ. And the Bible says they got upset with Him and wanted to take Him to a hill and throw Him off a hill. The Bible said Jesus just passed right through their midst, went on His way, no sweat. Did you know His ministry ended almost the same way? There was a point where He's dealing with the Pharisees, and it's just before that he goes to the Lazarus and raises him from the dead. It's right at the end of His ministry. And He's debating with the Pharisees about who He is, and they can't handle it because He's telling them who He is. And the Bible says they wanted to take up stones and stone Him to death. And every one of them missed. I don't know how that happened. The Bible said He just walked right off. Nothing. Nothing. And then there's the literal picture of rest in the storm in Mark chapter 4. Jesus gets in the boat with His disciples and they go out on the water. And by the way, what a tragedy last weekend. That lake in Missouri where they had what they call microburst on the water out there, and that boat, they have no expectation whatsoever of anything like that happening. And that boat sinking, 17 people drowning on that boat out there. What a tragedy. The same kind of scenario is very familiar, very similar, on the Sea of Galilee, where these fishermen fished all the time. It was very common, because of the slopes of the mountains around the sea, it was very common for rushes of wind to come down, a microburst, if you will, and for storms to rise all of a sudden there on the sea, and it could be very violent. Mark chapter 4 tells us Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples, and he's going to go across the lake with the disciples. He gets in the back of the boat and goes to sleep. A storm comes up. One of these things happened. Boy, the water is rocking, the waves are crashing, the boat's filling with water. The disciples are panicking. They're freaking out. Jesus, the whole time, is back there asleep on the boat. What a perfect picture of rest in the midst of a storm. And they woke him up. Jesus, don't you care? You know, I'm not sure there was any faith in anything they said. They didn't say, Jesus, save us. They said, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying. In other words, wake up, Jesus. We're done, and you're going to watch. You're not sleeping through this. But Jesus was rest. He's the very picture of rest in the storm. And Jesus wants us to learn how to trust in Him as He trusted in the Father and experience that kind of peace through the storms of life, whatever they may be, whether they're financial, whether they're relational, whether they're health-wise or whatever they might be. God wants us to be at peace in the midst of the storm. So just a few things to share with you this morning to help us find peace in the midst of the storm. First of all, here from Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this in verse 28. He says, come to me. Let's just stop right there. That's what we need to know right there. Come to me, Jesus says. Of course, the implication is we haven't been walking with Him, because now we need to come with Him, come to Him. But thank God we can come to Him in the storms of life. Come to me, He says. And here's the thing. See, God never intended for us to carry our burdens or fix our problems by ourselves or on our own. He wants us to journey through life with Him so that He is with us to care for us, to help us, to bear the burdens, to fix the problems, to do these things. Don't misunderstand. We will often have a part to play in what God is telling us to do. But brother and sister, please hear this. Our part is not to freak out. Our part is to trust God and to wait on the Lord and listen to what He says, and then just do what He tells us. He never intended for us to carry our burdens or fix our problems ourselves. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And then He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. I wonder if this concept isn't something that, as time goes on, isn't a concept that is being lost. I wonder how many millennials would know what a yoke is if we asked that kind of question. When I think about a yoke, I think about a Western, you know, many years ago when they're out, either they're plowing in the fields and they've got a couple of animals pulling the plow, or you think about a team of horses that are pulling a stagecoach or car chariot or anything like that. And in order to be sure that those animals are going to go the same direction, how many of you know when you're traveling somewhere with a stagecoach, you don't want the horses going this way and then some of them going this way. You want them going the same direction. When you're pulling the plow, you don't want them pulling different directions. You want them going. See, the problem is a lot of times God's pulling one way and we're pulling a different way. And so what they would do in order to be sure those animals are going the same direction, they would put what's called a yoke that they would put around the necks of these animals that would essentially bind them together, tie them together, so that these animals are going in the same direction together, you see. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What's He saying? He's saying, come get hooked up with me. Come walk together with me. Come walk side by side with me and quit going off in your own direction. Come and walk with me, he says. Be bound together with me and I'll show you how to be an overcomer. I'll show you how to have rest in the storm. I'll give you rest in the midst of the storm. So look over at Philippians chapter 4 with me, several verses to read for you today. We need to come to Jesus and we need to be bound together with Jesus. We need to hook up with the Son of God and walk with Him through life consistently in our journey through life. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Boy, I should have saved this passage to the end of the sermon. At the end of the message, I'm going to talk about one of the ways that we refocus our minds in order to walk with the Lord is to worship God. It's to praise the Lord. It's to worship God. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. This is the way to do it. In fact, this passage of Scripture is going to be all about refocusing our attention on the Lord so that we are secure in Him, walking with Him, and at rest because of Him. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Let me just stop right there. Notice that phrase, the Lord is near. Please hear this. He doesn't say the coming of the Lord is near. We know the coming of the Lord is near. I understand that, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul says the Lord is near. In other words, God is with us. God is present. This is why we should rejoice no matter what. James will tell us, no matter what you're going through, just praise the Lord. Count it all joy. Rejoice because God is with you and God will help you no matter what you're going through in your life. The Lord is near. Therefore, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't sweat. Don't lose your cool. Don't freak out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Focus up on God. Fellowship with the Lord. Rejoice in God. Know that He's with you. Bring your concerns to Him, knowing that He cares for you. And understand that because you do and when you do, the peace of God will be there for you to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hold your place there in Philippians chapter 4. Look over at Psalm 46 with me real quick. And just the first three verses of Psalm 46. These are the worshipers in the temple singing to the Lord in Psalm 46. And the psalm says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The word there for very present help, it carries with it the idea of one who has proven himself. Okay? In other words, the reason that we can count on the Lord, the reason that we can rejoice in the Lord, the reason that we can praise the Lord in a difficult time is because God is not only faithful, but God has proven himself capable. He's proven himself capable. He's proven himself faithful. He will be there for us. He is a very present help. Therefore, because that God is there and present and we can count on him, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, your translation may say be removed or be moved. Though the earth would change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. No matter, that's rocking and rolling, isn't it? Look at that verse 2 and 3 there. Look at the calamity. Look at the chaos. Look at the confusion. Look at what's going on. The mountains slipping into the sea. Waters roaring and foaming. Mountains quaking. Things are rocking and rolling. And he says, even so, we're not afraid of anything. We don't care what's going on in the world around us because of the God who's with us. And for you and I, the God who dwells in us. The God who dwells in us. We can count on him. God is here. We are not alone. He will help us. He's got this. Breathe. Relax. God's with you. He's not going to let go of you. And nothing is too difficult for him. He's going to hold on to you. Therefore, be anxious for nothing. Come to Jesus. Bring your concerns to the Son of God. But wait. When you bring your concerns to Jesus, be sure to leave them there. Okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 verses 6 and 7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to the Lord. Oh, by the way, that's essentially what that phrase, I didn't mean to say this, back when we were looking in Matthew chapter 11 about that yoke. By putting that yoke around our necks in order to walk with Jesus, essentially what that's talking about is submitting ourselves to the Lord. Surrendering to the Lord, letting him have control. Letting him lead. It's his yoke. It's not ours. But we wear it so that we can walk with him. And we submit ourselves to him. And so here Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your fears on him, because he cares for you. Casting all of your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Now the word for cast there, if you've got the Amplified, Becky probably reads the Amplified Bible over here. It's a good study Bible. And it will say cast, watch this, cast once and for all. Cast once and for all. In other words, don't have to be doing it over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but that's the way I cast. I cast with a rope tied around my waist to what I'm trying to cast so that it can't get too far. But he wants us to cast all of our cares. The idea is let it go. When you've given it to God, let it go. Let him have it. Don't keep taking it back. This is what I do, Jeff. I give it to God for about 30 seconds. And when prayer is over, then it's in my mind again and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix what I just gave to God. But see, we've got to let it go to God. We've got to give it to God. I'm convinced that a lot of times God doesn't do things that we want him to do is because we're in his way and he can't. That God can't put his hands on something until we take our hands off of it. And we have to learn to cast our cares, to let it go once and for all. We're talking about the same problem here. Obviously, with every problem, we have to come again and recast. But we don't take that problem back. We let it go. We give it to God. We don't try to fix it ourselves after we've surrendered it to the Lord. We cast it upon God and don't take it back. Stop thinking about it. Somebody said, that's not possible. Yeah, it is too. Woohoo! It is possible. We need to stop trying to fix things ourselves and trust the Lord to fix things for us. Pastor, how is it possible to stop thinking about things? It's very simple. Start thinking about something else. It's too easy, isn't it? Brother and sister, this is where spiritual warfare really comes into play and what it's really ultimately all about. See, the battlefield is in our minds. It's between our ears. And what we're giving our thoughts to, what we're meditating on, what we're thinking about. And the Bible tells us very plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that by the grace of God, we have the ability to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we get to choose what we're going to set our minds on, what we're going to think about. And it's hard to think. Well, I'll just say it for me. It's hard for me to think about two things at the same time. It's hard for us when we give our attention to one thing. It's hard for us to really be thinking a lot about something else. And we need to give ourselves to the Lord and give our minds to the Lord. And this is, well, now listen, I'm going to be real honest with you. This really is warfare. It really is warfare. Because when something is very strong in your mind, it's not easy to stop thinking about it and start thinking about something else. But if you will fight the good fight of faith, you can win that battle, renew your mind, change your thoughts, focus on the Lord, and come out victorious. You can change the way that you think and walk in the things of God. I think about the children of Israel having come to the promised land. They go into the promised land. They see all of these giants. God has already said, the land is yours. Go in and take it. But instead of seeing what God has promised, all they can think about are the giants that they've seen. So instead of looking at the promise of God and focusing on that and thinking about the promise, almost all of them are looking at those giants, thinking about those giants, focused on those giants, and they lost the land because of the giants. They could have made the choice to think on God and to think on His promise, but they didn't do it. They chose rather to think on the giants that were in the land. It's so easy for us to focus on our problems instead of focusing on the Lord. And that's why I say it's a fight. And Paul says we have to fight the good fight of faith. What that means is we have to fight to stay in faith in God, focused on His word, because the enemy's going to torment our minds. There's going to be a torrent of thoughts that come to our mind to distract us from God. We just have to be determined to be more persistent in our thought life where God is concerned and set our mind on the things of the Lord. Several scriptures real quickly. That's just time for two. Look back over at Colossians chapter 3. Right after Philippians is Colossians chapter 3. That's where we're going. Chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's hopefully every one of us in here today, born again, raised up with Jesus by faith. He says, keep seeking. Here's continually seeking, okay? We're going to cast once and for all, but in seeking God, we're going to continually seek after the Lord. Keep seeking things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. In other words, you have a choice to make. Where are you going to set your mind? What are you going to set it on? And we have to make the choice to set it on God, because the enemy is going to give us thousands of opportunities to set it on something else. And we have to make the decision that we're going to set our mind and set our heart on godly things and not the problems that we're going through in life. We were just there in Philippians chapter 4. Turn back there. It's the book to your left, the next book to your left. Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Set your mind on these things. Make the decision that these are the kinds of things you're going to meditate on, instead of meditating on the problems of life. Meditate on the goodness of God. Anything worthy of praise, true, honorable, pure, lovely, of good repute. Dwell on, set your mind on these things and the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah 26, verse 3, where Isaiah is talking with the Lord. And the scripture tells us there, he says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, fixed on him. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. We have to make the decision to set our mind on the things of the Lord instead of the things of the world, instead of the problems, instead of the worries and concerns that the enemy wants to bombard us with. We need to take every thought captive. Another example of that in the New Testament is Jairus. Jairus is a synagogue official who has a daughter who's at the point of death. She's about 12 years old. He comes to Jesus because he believes Jesus can heal his daughter. He comes to Jesus and he says, if you'll come with me, lay your hands on my daughter, she will live. So they start off to Jairus' house. And you know the story. As they start off, another woman comes up, touches the hem of his garment. She's healed. Jesus stops to have a conversation with this woman. Put yourself in Jairus' shoes, okay? You've called 911. The ambulance is on the way, but you find out they stopped off somewhere else on the way to your emergency. This is what Jairus is dealing with. He is standing there in an emergency waiting to get Jesus to his daughter, and Jesus is stopping to talk to somebody else. And guess what? Jairus never says a word. He waits on the Lord. Finally, they head off to Jairus' house again. On the way, messengers come from Jairus' house. It's too late. Your daughter's dead. Oh, man. Jesus. Jesus turns and looks at this man. He says this: do not be afraid. Only believe. What's he telling him? Jairus, don't focus on those negative things you've been told. Focus on what I'm telling you. Keep your mind set on what I'm telling you. Don't be distracted. Can you imagine that? Is that even possible? Can I say this to you today? If it weren't possible, Jesus wouldn't have told him to do it. If Jesus says to do it, it's possible to do it. And when the enemy comes in with all of his doubts, with all of his negativity, with all of his worry, with all of his fear, with all of the anxious thoughts about all of the problems that we go through in life, we have to make a decision where we're going to focus our attention and where we're going to give our thoughts. Are we going to set them on the Lord, or are we going to set them on our problems? Because I'm telling you guys, what we give our attention to is what will be magnified in our minds and in our hearts and ultimately in our lives. What we give our attention to. That's why Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we give our attention to is what's going to be magnified, and it's what we're ultimately going to believe and probably experience. And so we can be like Israel and think about the giants, or we can think about the promise. The nation thought about the giants and lost the land. Two people. And from what I understand, there were probably a couple of million Jews who came to the border of the promised land, and two thought on the promise of God and set their mind on the promise of God. And after 40 years, only those two went into the promised land and received the promise of God. Jairus kept believing. He received the promise of God. He received healing for his daughter. So we need to draw near to the Lord. We need to set our mind on God. We need to make Him the focus of our life. We need to refocus. How do we do that, Pastor? It's very simple. You know what the answer is. Here's the thing, guys. We know what the answer is. The first thing is we need to get into the Word of God. We need to read the Bible. We need to find out what God says to us that belongs to us. We need to learn what we can about the nature of God and the promises of God. Did you know the Bible tells us that grace and peace are multiplied to us by the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Where do we gain that knowledge? From the Word. From the Word. From reading our Bibles. From studying the Scripture. Psalm 116 and 165 tells us that those that know the ways of God will find peace. So peace can come to us through the study of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to be diligent about studying the Word of God, reading the Scriptures, learning about God, learning about His promises, learning about how faithful He is, coming to know Him the way that the psalmist knew Him when he said He's a very present, proven, faithful help in time of trouble. So that when trouble comes, we'll know where to turn. We'll know how to believe, and we'll know how to stay at rest in the time of trouble. The second thing is to refocus our minds by the worship of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Paul tells us. Worshiping the Lord helps us to focus on God. It magnifies God, and the promises are diminished. I remember years ago, we used to sing a little chorus. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'll give you the words. The little chorus went, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." When we focus on God, God becomes magnified. The things of the world become diminished. We need to focus on the Lord. We do that by worshiping the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of His people. When we worship God, God shows up. God comes to walk with us and to walk among us. There's a story, we won't take the time to read it. I encourage you to read over in Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 16. The story of Paul and Silas, and they're in a prison in the city called Philippi. They've gone there preaching the gospel. And for their faithfulness to God, they're rewarded with an arrest. They're beaten. They're thrown into prison. And the Bible tells us that while they are there, they begin to worship the Lord. They begin to praise God. They just begin to worship and draw near to the Lord. And God showed up. And God shook the house. But they had peace as they worshiped the Lord, perfect peace as their minds were set on Him. See, guys, we can either worry or we can worship. Choice is ours. It's hard for me to do both. If we'll do these things consistently, not only in an emergency, but if we'll do them regularly, if we'll do them consistently, God will give us and God will keep us in perfect peace. Now, I want to say one more thing. And if you don't hear this part, the rest of the time was a waste. Because I realize I probably haven't said anything new to any of you here today about how to have the peace of God in the midst of trials and those kinds of things. Read your Bible, worship the Lord. We all know to do that. But here's the thing. Our problem is not so much not knowing what to do. Our problem is in doing what we know. Let me just tell you something. Let's just be real honest here today. And I'll be honest about me when I'm saying this. Truth of the matter is, and please don't get mad at me. Truth of the matter is, probably every one of us don't read the Bible the way we know we ought to. It stays on the coffee table or the back seat of the car or on the countertop or some other place in the house. It is easy for me as a pastor to fall into the habit of not reading my Bible on a daily basis. You know why? Because I'm in the Bible all day long on Wednesday, all day long on Friday, preparing Bible studies, preparing sermons, teaching the Bible on Sunday. It's very easy to get into the habit of only reading my Bible when I need to prepare to teach something from the Bible to somebody else. And I wind up not reading the Bible for me. See? And I know we know we're supposed to be doing this, but how many of us really do it? I had a preacher years ago came to the church and as a guest speaker, dear brother, we love him. He asked me, he said, you've got the technology. Why don't you project the verses that you're reading up on the screen? Now, that's what so many churches do these days. You know, they project what's read up on the screen. So everybody can read along the verses and that kind of thing. And I know it was the Spirit of the Lord. My answer, I said to him, I said, brother, I understand that most people don't open their Bibles at home. If I put the words up on the screen, they won't open their Bible in church either. See? Guys, we don't do it. We know what to do. We just don't do what we know to do. And it's why we're not walking in the peace of the Lord. I promise you, get into the Word of God and read the Bible. Read the Psalms, read the Gospels, read the short epistles. No, don't try to get through the Bible. Try to get into the Bible. Don't try to finish it. Try to get something out of it. Even if you only read a couple of verses, a chapter a day, just read something to get something. And let God speak to you through the Word. And then worship God. Worship God. Do you understand that the first 20, 30 minutes of our services on Sunday morning are not to kill the first hour when we get here? We're not just killing a half an hour. It's not pregame. Okay? The song service portion of our service is not a pregame. It's the time for us to focus. It's the time for us to set our mind on God. It's the time for us to worship the Lord and draw near to God and be focused on God and open our heart to God so that when the Word is taught, now we can receive what God is saying. I promise you, if you're not entering into the praise and worship, I guarantee you, you're not getting out of the service what you otherwise could be getting out of it. See? Worship is not pregame. Nor is it something that you and I are only supposed to do corporately on Sunday morning. Worship is supposed to be a way of life. Worship is supposed to be a way of life. And it's a way of drawing near to the Lord, refocusing our mind, magnifying God in our hearts and lives over all that other junk that's trying to tear us down all day long. If we'll do what we know to do, God will give our hearts peace and keep us there. As we walk with him, let's stand together. And let's go to the Lord for a few moments in an attitude of prayer as we close our service today. Let's focus on the Lord. Bless you, Father. Draw near to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me. All who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. Jesus is our rest. When we come to Jesus, we'll find rest. Cast your care, give them to Jesus. Listen to what he might tell you to do as your part. But trust. Trust that Jesus cares for us today. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows what we're going through. And I tell you, if we'll learn to trust God in the midst of things, The Lord will turn those things and work them together for our good and for His glory. And what the enemy means for our destruction, God will use for our strength. He'll use for our good. He'll use, as we learn to trust Him in the midst of that, He'll use that to strengthen us and to raise us up and to grow us up. Because see, God wastes nothing. Come to Jesus. Now, when we come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're still in an attitude of prayer this morning, we can pray for one another and we can encourage one another. We can carry one another's burdens the way Paul tells us to in Galatians chapter 6. Now, understand, our carrying of each other's burdens is not just for us to carry. It's to help one another carry our burdens to the Lord. And sometimes there'll be a part that we might play. But could we have the privilege this morning before we're dismissed, and again we're at an attitude of prayer, could we have the privilege of carrying your burden with you to the Lord this morning in prayer? And I want to ask you to do this just simply as we close our service today. If you're walking through something, if there's a burden that you're carrying in your life, it might be a health issue, it might be a financial issue, a relationship, whatever it is, if there's a burden that's weighing you down and you're struggling to find the place of rest, may we have the privilege of praying with you today, of helping you to carry that burden to the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you to do this right where you are today. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand right where you're standing or seating today, and a number of you all around. Amen. 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 Good grace. Many of you. Amen. We tend to carry those burdens, don't we? Let's take them together to Jesus today, all right? Let's cast these things on the Lord today. And let's trust God to do something with these things. And let's make a decision. We're going to set our mind on other things, not these burdens. Whatsoever things are lovely, pure, right, of good repute, excellence, worthy of praise. How many of you understand that all of those words just describe Jesus to us? Let's set our minds on Jesus. Let's set our mind on Jesus and on things above. And Father, I thank You for these precious people that are here today at this little church. And God, You know their hearts and You know the burdens that they're carrying today. You know the needs of their life. I pray that today will be a turning point for them, Father, as together we cast our burdens on You. And we trust You, Father, because You are the very present help in time of trouble. You are the proven help, the faithful help in our time of trouble. And God, we trust in You today to deal with these issues and to lift these burdens. Jesus, we come to You. We yoke ourselves with You and covenant to walk with You and trust You to deal with these burdens in our lives. We choose to let go. We choose to stop trying to figure it out, stop trying to work it out, stop trying to fix it ourselves. We choose to give it to You and to trust You to handle it. We'll do whatever part You tell us to do, God, but it's Your burden and it's Yours to fix. And we thank You and believe that You will. So, Father, I pray for my precious church once again, and I thank You, Lord, for lifting their burdens today and teaching us again how to refocus our mind on things that are above, not the things of this world, so that we can be in peace even in the midst of these storms. Help us, Father, to do what we know to do. It's not enough just to know what to do. We must do what we know to do. Help us to be willing to fight that good fight of faith. For faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Before you close out, I want to pray for you, Becky.
We would appreciate that. We would appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir.
Father, we thank you for your peace and your joy and the word that has already come forth today. And I pray for our pastors as they leave us, go on a well-deserved vacation. And may they cast their cares on you.
Yes, Lord.
May they surrender everything that's going on in their life to you.
Thank you,
Father.
May
they focus on you, even as they go away for rest and relaxation. And may that the peace that passeth all understanding be theirs as they go on this well-deserved vacation. I pray that you would go before them, that you would prepare their way, that you would open doors of opportunity for them to be in your service along the way, that you would protect them from the enemy, that you would protect them from any harm that he might want to bring to them, their automobile, or any of their possessions, that you would feed them well while they're there, protect them from any foodborne illness or any harm that the devil has planned for them. We come against that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
May they rest in peace. May you anoint them, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Go with them and be with them. We pray and protect us while they're gone. Give them the assurance, Father, that while they're away and you're with them there, that you're here with us as well, and that you're going to protect us and you're going to provide for us in their absence. They don't have to worry about it. It's all in your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you for it. Bless them abundantly, we pray, as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. While we're gone, if you have need of anything, Bonnie and Jimmy are here. You can give them a call. Next Sunday, Pastor Marvin's with us this morning. He'll be preaching next week. I hope all of you will be here. He always brings a wonderful word for us. Hope you'll all be here to support Marvin. Where's Stephanie? There she is. She's leading praise and worship for us next week. And so things will be running just as smoothly as usual. All of you be here. It's Communion Sunday. Support our church while we're gone. In case of an emergency, they can always catch us on our cell phone. Wonderful thing about cell phone is that people can get you anywhere you are. Terrible thing about cell phone is that people can get you anywhere you are. If need be, we can be found. So, anything you want to say before we sing and go? I'm ready.
God bless you.
God bless you. Adios. That's what we're saying. All right. Let's sing together and we're dismissed today. Thank you again for being with us this morning. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you in 10 days.